Friends, I'm happy to announce that Straight Talk has partnered with Blue Line Roasting Company to bring you delicious coffee to enjoy while you listen to this podcast. Blue Line Roasting Company also serves our first responders by giving a portion of all net proceeds to numerous organizations who support them. Order today at BlueLineRoasting.com. That's BlueLineRoasting.com. And don't forget, when you join the Straight Shooter VIP Club, you'll receive a free coffee sample and a mug, plus invitations to private podcast events.
26 officers lost their lives while on duty in 2022.
Blue lives matter in America.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to another episode of the Straight Talk Podcast with yours truly, the host. That would be me, former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark. So here we are. In podcast past, I've talked about this war going on in the Middle East. By the way, we are at war in the Middle East, and we are at war in Ukraine. And I'm tired of the Biden administration and their ilk in the liberal media trying to provide Biden cover that, well, we're not really in a war. Yes, we are. And I've talked on numerous podcast segments about how you can't be one foot in, one foot out of these regions. Biden's trying to thread a needle. He's conducting military operations, serious ones, trying not to be blamed for being involved in a war, or starting a war, or being involved in an endless war. But that's where we're headed. That's where we are in Ukraine. And that's where we're headed toward in the Middle East. The Middle East is on fire. En fuego. In different areas. You have the situation going on in Gaza. You have the situation going on in Jordan at the border with Syria, Yemen, the Red Sea. You have the United States with military equipment and soldiers. And a couple of podcasts ago, I talked about how when we lost two Navy SEALs, I said, this is what happens when you're conducting military operations, but you're only half in. You cannot, from a moral standard, put U.S. troops in harm's way with no real mission. Well, we kind of are. Well, we want to keep the Red Sea open for trade. While the other side is lobbing drones and missiles and everything else at you, and you have these service members that are basically sitting ducks. Go back and listen. I talked about this. Well, here we are again. A few days ago, three service members killed in action when a drone hit a base camp over at the Jordan-Syrian border, killing three U.S. service members and wounding more than 30. And we're not at war? If we're not at war, why are service members losing their lives? So then Biden comes out with his usual crapola. Our hearts go out to the surviving family members, the brave heroes, all this nonsense. He put them there. And the Congress idly stands by. And of course, you know, they did like they did with the two Navy SEALs, you know, for, you know, a little saber rattling from Republicans on the Hill to take political advantage of this thing in an election year. All of this activity going on in Ukraine, although we don't have troops in the ground, still the billions and hundreds of billions of dollars that are going to finance that war with no real mission and no end in sight. What's the objective? Congress hasn't asked. So they take a political shot. And I don't have a problem with that, but I'm not giving the GOP any credit for this, for firing back at Biden over the loss of three U.S. service members in a drone attack on a base camp. Not giving them any credit for that. They should have said something a long time ago. When I first started talking about this is when they should have said something. And I've been on this story probably since Well, that is the situation anyway. Last fall, when things started heating up. So, of course, you know, the Biden administration, all they're vowing retaliation. Retaliation? I talked about this previously, too. We're in this defensive mode, reaction mode. We're never on offense in this in the Middle East here. When things caught on fire, we're always defending. We're always reacting. Well, now we're starting to lose lives. In that Afghan withdrawal. So I'm going to read something here from the Wall Street Journal. Three U.S. troops are killed in drone strike at Jordan base. Three U.S. service members were killed and more than 30 injured in an Iran-backed militia drone strike on a base in northeast Jordan, U.S. officials said, marking the first American troops killed in hostile action since the start of the Hamas-Israeli conflict in Gaza. That's not true. We lost two Navy SEALs. Plus, there have been other casualties that were kind of like glossed over. A U.S. official said the attack took place at Tower 22, a small outpost near the Syrian border. The drone struck living quarters for the troops, contributing to the high number of casualties, a U.S. official said. The strike carried out by a one-way attack drone marks an escalation in the fighting in the region. The president and secretary of defense said the U.S. would retaliate. Yeah, escalation. It was Iran a couple weeks ago that was accusing the United States of escalating things. But I got another question I want to ask you. Why is it okay for the United States to back Ukraine in a war by funding it, but it's not okay for Iran to support these militia that they're supporting over there? It's the same thing. I'm not condemning the United States backing Ukraine, but I don't want to hear this. Well, Iran is financing. I keep hearing this from people. Well, these are Iran-backed militia. Well, Ukraine is United States-backed entity. And the Russians could say the same thing. You're either at war or you're not. I've said before, it's kind of like you can't be somewhat pregnant or a little bit pregnant. You either are pregnant or you're not. It's that clear. But Biden's trying to walk this fine line. Like I said, I like that analogy. He's trying to thread a needle here. Well, we are, but we aren't. Well, what is it? Which one is it? Because you have troops in harm's way, and now you have casualties. So it goes on to say here just what that response might be. It's also likely to figure into this year's political campaign. Oh, no kidding. You think Biden doesn't know that? That's what he's worried about. Because his foreign policy stinks. It says here, Biden's who said the attack was carried out by Iran-backed militants in Syria and Iraq. Signal that a military response is planned. Well, first of all, don't expect much, okay? Don't expect much from Biden because he doesn't want to escalate things. You remember, he just said that a couple weeks ago. Well, we don't want to escalate things. So the story goes on to say here, the Biden administration has sought to walk a fine line in responding to the Iran-backed militia attacks while trying to avoid inflaming politics in Iraq, where the presence of U.S. troops has been assailed by the Shia hardliners. The goal is to deter them, and we don't want to go down a path of greater escalation that drives to a much broader conflict within the region, Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, Air Force General C.Q. Brown, said on an ABC News interview. See, you can't do this. You have to pick a horse and ride it. All of this tiptoeing around. Well, we don't want to infuriate people, and then get the damn troops out of there. Troops are used to fight and win wars. So then it says here, Iran-backed militias have carried out more than 150 attacks against U.S. troops in Iraq and Syria since October 17th. I told you I've been talking about this since last fall. 150 attacks. Attacks! The United States and Biden and his ilk and Austin and that Blinken, they're playing patty cake with these people. They're playing footsie. Instead of going over there, hitting them in the mouth, and making it clear, that'll be enough of that, and more is coming if you don't get out of Dodge. Don't screw with us. And you show them with a barrage, with heavy artillery. Well, we don't want, yes, we do. Otherwise, get the hell out of there. So anyway, they've been using mortars and launching drones, rockets, and ballistic missiles. That's a war. Those are, you know, you always hear the left talking about the AR-15 and, you know, weapons of war. Well, if an AR-15 is a weapon of war, so are drones and so are missiles, ballistic missiles, and rockets. Those are weapons of war. We are at war in the Middle East. Yet the possibility that an Iranian-backed militia strike could lead to significant casualties has been evident for months. Yeah, you think? It's been evident to me. I've been talking about it for months. So here's some of the casualties that have happened before these three service members were killed in this drone attack. A U.S. service member was seriously wounded in a Christmas Day attack on a base in Erbil, Iraq, though most of the other injuries have been minor. Minor? On January 4th, the U.S. killed an Iranian-backed militia leader in a drone attack. The administration's most recent retaliatory blow took place on Wednesday, local time, when the U.S. struck three facilities used by the Iranian-backed group Kataib Hezbollah. And then it goes on to say here, it ends by saying, two Navy SEALs were lost at sea during the operation to seize a vessel carrying Iranian-made missile parts bound for the Houthi rebels in Yemen. It's a war. We're either going to fight to win this thing, or we should get the hell out. And Biden should be made to answer for this. None of the back and forth political barbs from these members of Congress. He needs to address the American people in a primetime speech, and therefore he can consider himself addressing the Congress. What the hell are we doing over there and why? What's the mission? How long is it going to take? And when can we expect it to be over? We have the strongest military in the world that the world has ever seen, for heaven's sakes. You know what? Iran and the Houthis and everybody, they know this clown Biden, he's not going to do anything to us. He's afraid. This is an election year. We can exploit this. It's an election year. He doesn't want to start a major conflict in an election year. So he's got our service members as sitting ducks, for heaven's sakes. This is not okay. And it's only going to get worse. That's about the fourth time since I've been covering this on this podcast. It's about the fourth time that I've had to say this. So, let's turn the page. I'm back to another story. That's the other thing about this podcast. I don't just cover most of this stuff one time. I know that's how it appears in the news. You hear an initial story, and then it's just kind of like you never hear anything about it again. I've been covering this Christopher Wray, this liar, who got caught once again in this scheme to target Catholics. You may recall me talking about this. This is like the third or fourth time I'm talking about it. I'm going to keep talking about it because the guy keeps getting caught and he keeps lying. So more records have been obtained by Congress as to this whole Catholics are extremists and terrorists and so on and so forth. So this here from the Washington Times, FBI deleted records related to anti-Catholic memo GOP lawmakers say. Republican lawmakers on the Senate Judiciary Committee say they are seeking action and accountability. Yeah, right. After discovering new details and discrepancies surrounding an anti-Catholic memo prepared by analysts last year in the FBI's Richmond, Virginia field office. In a letter spearheaded by Senator Chuck Grassley to FBI Director Christopher Wray, the Iowa Republican and his colleagues ask about revelations that the top FBI officials ordered analysts to permanently delete files related to the memo which identified traditional Catholics as potential domestic terrorists. Deleting files, ladies and gentlemen. They're obstructing Congress. Christopher Wray, liar extraordinaire, they're obstructing Congress. Nobody will be held accountable. You know it. I know it. I don't kid myself. Nothing's going to happen to Christopher Wray. So every time he comes up to the Hill, he feigns ignorance. Well, I haven't seen that memo. Well, I'll have to go back and take a look. Well, I didn't read that one. Well, I'm not sure, but, I'll get back to you. But all that, he said, I talked about it. Under oath, he said, no, that was a lone, agent in some obscure office, and it didn't go any further. Well, they're finding out it did. So it says here from Grassley, now we know that information related to the Richmond memo wasn't provided to Congress because the FBI deleted the records as soon as the incident became public, the latest letter stated. According to a report released by the House Judiciary Committee on December 4th, Deputy Director Paul Abate ordered Richmond Special Agent in Charge Stanley Meter to take the memo down as soon as it became public. The GOP lawmakers demanded an immediate explanation for the order to delete the records, accusing the Bureau of obstruction and asking why it withheld the information from the Senate despite repeated requests for the records. Because he knows he can. That's why he did it. I'm talking about Wray. That's why he did it, because he knows he can. And he knows nothing's going to happen. And all this saber-rattling by Grassley and all these other people on the Hill means nothing. It's all theater. Deleting records, for heaven's sakes. It's as serious as it gets in terms of obstructing an investigation. If the FBI were investigating me and they said, we want records pertaining to whatever, emails, whatever, and I deleted them and they found out I deleted them, do you think I could get away with it? Well, I'll have to go back and take a look. I'm not sure about that. Martha Stewart did time in federal prison for obstructing the FBI. A lot of people are sitting in federal prison for obstructing an FBI investigation. January 6th members, or people involved, are sitting in federal prison for obstructing that investigation. But Wray can come up to the Hill, and Fauci can come up to the Hill, and obstruct Congress, and lie, cheat, and everything else, and nothing happened. That seems to be okay. I get sick of this. I get disgusted with the crap that goes on in Washington, D.C. That if you or I did it, we're going to be indicted. We're going to federal prison. They get to lie to Congress. These bureaucrats, they get to lie to the American people under oath, and nothing happens. Ladies and gentlemen, it's nauseating. I don't know how much more this I can take. I really don't. So it goes on to say here, the Richmond memo, which was publicly leaked in January of 2023, labeled radical traditional Catholics as potential racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists. Catholics. Violent extremists. It stated that racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, which they call RMVES, and radical traditionalist Catholic ideology almost certainly present opportunities for threat mitigation through the exploration of new avenues for tripwire and source development. When the memo became widely known, Mr. Wray denounced it and distanced himself and the Bureau from it. He said it was a product of just one field office. Liar, liar, liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire. And if he doesn't know that it was more than this, then he's incompetent. The buck stops with him. And he sits up there and he says, I wasn't aware of that. I don't know if I ever read that whole thing. And I'm not here. It says, he also could not recall whether he had read the unredacted version of the anti-Catholic memo produced by the Richmond field office before he previously testified to the House Judiciary Committee. How could he come there not prepared? And you know what? He's never brought back. He's, okay, you're going to get us that information? All right, we'll talk to you next week. Go back and review it. No, he's just here. They just move on. That's why I said his whole thing's just theater. So the Republican senators say, this information was material and important to all of us and to any member concerned about the memo's scope. Members of Congress in both chambers had inquired about the scope of this memo, its preparation and distribution before you testified, they said. The involvement of the other field offices, therefore, was material information that you should have provided, and its redaction coupled with your testimony appear to show a conscious effort to withhold that information from us. See, they know it, and they're telling him right to his face. They won't do anything. They won't do anything. And the agents involved, nothing happens to them. If Ray wants to say, well, that was some lone agent and he shouldn't have done that, what's going to happen to him? He's violating people's civil rights. Can you imagine if the FBI was coming in to do an investigation on a local police agency for some civil rights violation? You know how they come in, they do these takeovers of law enforcement agencies? Pattern and practice, they call it. A pattern and practice investigation on a local police agency. And if they found out that the chief had ordered records to be deleted and shredded that they were looking for, can you imagine what would happen to that chief or any of the officers involved in that? If they were trying to obstruct the FBI's investigation into a pattern and practice investigation, imagine that. Do you think that chief or those officers at the local level could get away with, well, I wasn't aware of that. Well, that's just a lone guy, and I don't worry about that. Nothing to see here. No. Wouldn't be allowed. But it's okay for the FBI. The FBI is a disgraced bureaucracy. Christopher Wray is a disgraced FBI director. He has no integrity. None. Zero. This agency, I've said it before, I will say it again, I stand by it, it's not hyperbole. I've made the case, and I haven't even uncovered all of what's going on within that corrupt agency. They should be defunded. They should be expanded. Thanks for joining me. When you talk about race, crime, and politics, some folks lose sleep over this, but not me, because I sleep just fine on my Giza Dream Sheets and Pillow from MyPillow, especially this new 2.0. If you haven't gotten yours yet, you are missing out. Just go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Clark, that's C-L-A-R-K-E, and save up to 66% off. The direct link is also available on my website, AmericaSheriff.com. Get a great night's sleep so we can continue the fight. Friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's episode of Straight Talk with yours truly, America Sheriff David Clark. And a special thank you also goes out to our sponsors. My goal, as always, is to break down these complex and many times controversial issues and bring it to you straight with a little dose of common sense, no media bias, no talking points, just truth. And this podcast would not be possible without your support. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please leave a review at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite place to listen. And please share this message of common sense on social media. For more content, be sure to follow me on Truth Social, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And just a reminder, we'd love for you to join our Straight Shooters VIP podcast club for only $5 per month. And with that membership, you'll receive invitations to attend private podcast events throughout the year as a VIP guest when we come to your town. Plus, if you join today, you'll also receive a free coffee mug and a sample of our private label coffee, as long as supplies last. Subscribe and join at AmericaSheriff.com. This podcast is brought to you by AmericaSheriff.com with executive producer Judy Wilkinson of JL Wilkinson Consulting and producer Josh Wentz. If you are interested in partnering with Straight Talk Podcasts or having me speak in your area, please contact Judy at jlwilkinsonconsulting@gmail.com, 706-518-2116. That's jlwilkinsonconsulting@gmail.com. Phone number 706-518-2116.